Today is Pentecost Sunday, and most people in most churches ignore it because they don't understand it and they don't know what happened, or they don't care. Either way, but what actually happened on Pentecost is the day that the church was established. And if you'll let me, I'd like to read this to you. It's called Pentecost because it comes 50 days after the resurrection. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. The power came upon the church to preach the Word of God. It was the same day that the Jewish people had always been celebrating, the day that the law was given on Sinai. On that day, fire also fell, but it landed on top of a hill called Mount Sinai. And on that day, 3,000 people were struck dead because they violated the law. And on the day that the church started, 3,000 people, if you read the rest of Acts chapter 2, you'll find out that there was 3,000 people who stepped forward and made a public profession of faith, that they really believed that Jesus was the chosen one of God and that he had been sent to us to save us from our sins, get us forgiven of our sins. But I would also like to read to you one of the important things about what happened on the day of Pentecost. Jesus is talking, and this is before Pentecost, before the crucifixion, over in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 19. He says, well, I'll start at 18. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, because you are not of the world, but because I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. And the word hate there means to detest. It's that idea that they don't like us because we're different. I wasn't raised on a farm, but I had family that, had chickens and goats and cows and pigs and eggs and all that good stuff. And if one chick or chicken is really different from the other, the rest of the chicks will come over and start pecking on it till they kill it. Well, actually, we are different, and any people who are different or become noted as different, we stand out and we start getting picked on. So the church gets a lot of blame, always has. Sometimes it deserves the blame because the churches through the ages have not been perfect always. We are not claiming perfection, but what we are claiming is that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ. And the people who have truly accepted Christ are actually making the effort of following Him and acting like Him, behaving like Him. And He wasn't a mean and nasty person. He tried to benefit people. Even if He was saying, no, that ain't right, He was doing it in a way to cause them to think about what they were doing or what they were saying. So the church itself is different, and that's why sometimes the church through the ages has really been picked on and have been attacked. And I was reading a Jewish commentator, not on the Bible, but in newsprint, and he said, I want to warn the Christians, as Jewish people, we have been through this, like the Holocaust, the German Holocaust, where they killed 6 million Jews, and the Spanish Inquisition, and on. He was going through history and pointed all this out. He said, I want to give the Christians a heads up. You are being set up now, just like we have been. Watch out, because they are starting to turn this and blame things on you that you have nothing to do with, but you're becoming the scapegoat. And it's amazing that somebody of the Jewish tradition who does not accept Jesus as the Christ and does not think that we are necessarily the best people in the world, that he's giving us a heads up to be watching out. So we really do need to be watching out about what's going on with us, our attitudes with the church. But there's a strange thing that has always happened. After Pentecost, something starts happening. The church starts becoming more influential, and after a while, the church and what Jesus called the world starts cozying up together. They become really friendly, And usually at that time, instead of the church calling people to a higher ground, to a better sense of behavior, a better lifestyle, and calling people upward, we start, as churches, have always started to descend and go down to the world. And we may say, well, we're going to the world to identify with it so that we can talk to them. Where instead, we need to be not judgmental or condemning everything they do. We do need to reach out to them, but with the idea of we're here. We were in their position at one time. We were not perfect people. We're still not a perfect people. But come up here because we're trying to make this a better place. The odd thing happens is when the church society and society starts coming together, society itself starts falling apart and hardship starts coming upon the churches. In the book of Judges, which is in the Old Testament, the book of Judges, it said during that time period, the people did what was right in their own eyes, which meant they gave up the ways of God and started doing what was right in their own eyes. And usually what happens is the church gives up trying to follow Jesus Christ and following the word that we have revealed to us. Instead, we start trying to cozy up to the church or to the society. We're trying to cozy up out there with the culture around us and say, we can do better, we can be more influential if we become more like the world. And then we start doing what's right in our eyes instead of doing what's right as we understand the Bible. This happened repeatedly, has happened repeatedly through the Old Testament and into the New Testament times, which we are in. About 500, the year 500 AD, or if you like better, the common era that we're in now, the Greek philosophy was starting to become united with the church theology. And they started saying Jesus wasn't really a person. Jesus was more of a ghost. Jesus wasn't really God. Jesus was more of an angel. And they were trying to change the truth about Jesus Christ into something that they could philosophically understand using Greek. They were saying he was more like a little god, little g god. He was cool and he was nice and he could do things, but he wasn't truly the savior of the world. And about that time, because of this heresy, as they call it, came into the church. The church had a hard time. It went through difficulties. The society started having hard times. And eventually the church split. But upon the split of the church, which it split into two big segments, both of them started revisiting the concept of who Jesus really was. And once it was corrected, society started improving once again. But about 500 years later, the church started cozying up with the world. And wouldn't you know it? We were left open and Islam invaded Europe. Most people don't realize that Islam almost had all of Europe. It was making the invasion hit. It had already claimed Spain and was coming up through France. And then the other side was coming through Turkey and invading the peninsula where Greek is, where the country of Greece is. It was invading that. Most people don't realize today that there is an Islamic nation in Europe. And it's called Albania. It's just north and west of the country of Greece, but it is actually an Islamic country. But it got stopped on both sides, and the church quit following its own ways and started teaching the truth of Jesus Christ. And people started following Jesus and trying to be more like him. And the church came together, and the Islamic way was stopped. We do not hate the Islamic people. Don't get that idea. We do pray for them, but we believe that Jesus is the anointed one of God, and he came and he died for our sins. And if we trust him, he will let us use his sacrifice to say, God, he died for me. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, to cleanse me of everything I have ever done wrong. Relieve the guilt that I feel for the things that I have done wrong, and let me walk in your ways. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and clean me up. Make me better. And that's what our idea of what we're supposed to be putting out there is about Jesus Christ. About 500 years later, you notice how this kind of goes 500 years. About 500 years later, 1,500, the morals of the church itself, and I'm talking in Europe at this time. The morals of the church had become so bad that, well, they were horrendous. You can look it all up if you want to and read about it. But it became so bad that eventually the church split up again, and we had what was known as the Age of Reformation, and all the Protestants came into existence because we as Protestants were protesting the things that we saw that was wrong, and we started saying, we need to start following the Scriptures, and there became this emphasis on Scripture. And so things changed, and once again the West became blessed, and we started improving. Were we perfect? Oh no, the culture of the West still is not perfect, but here we are, 500 years later. Once again, I was reading some Jewish commentators in the newspaper, and they was talking about how warning the West, not just the church, but Western societies, and they were saying, you are being undermined. You are about to lose control of the countries. And it's not that we're talking political control. You are about to lose the influence that you've had over the people of the world. And it's always been to the good. I was reading one Jewish man, and he said, of all the countries I would choose to live in, it's in America, because they were founded and they built their country on the rules of Christianity. And he said, it is the best country to live in, and that's why all the people are trying to get to America, is because of the system that they have put in place based on Christianity. And he says, the world hates the West because we have tended to build our society on the truth of the Bible over the years. And while we're still not perfect, don't get me wrong, we're still not perfect, but it's because of that, he was saying, is that America has become such a great place to live in. And we are having a wonderful time to live in, or we were until just a few years ago, but the Christian influence was so strong that people were honoring the ways of God, holding up the ideas of truth and justice. Where Christianity is really strong, there tends to be a fairness in law. It's not just the rich that get away with things. It is anybody who can prove that they were right. It's not always easy, but it is better than a place where you have totalitarian rule, where they can just kill you on a whim because they can. Where Christianity is, the people's well-being tends to rise also. And we're talking health and welfare and sense of happiness and purpose. And people don't have to say, I have been stood on and I'll never get better. Instead, because of the Christian influence, it's there is a God and I can do better and I can work my way up in society. I am not doomed to always be low class. I can go from a log cabin like Abraham Lincoln to the President of the United States. I can be of whichever party, and I can still start off as a poor person and become a wealthy person. I can spend my wealth to help other people. The freedom springs from the truth of Christianity. Freedom springs, and we are set free not to do just what we want, but Christ sets us free to do what we ought to do, what is right. Always through history, God has always had a small group of people. When it comes right down to it and times get hard, which it seems like it is with us right now, but America is not near as bad a shape as other countries. There have been more Christians martyred in the last 100 years than has ever been martyred in total for that 100 years before, all the way back to the founding of the church in Acts chapter 2. More Christians have died in the last 100 years to be persecuted for their stand and saying that we believe that Jesus is the Christ. But no matter how bad it gets, all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament, into modern times, no matter how bad it gets, God always has a minority. He always has some people in His world, in His group, in this world, who are not of the world, but they are in the world. And they're calling out saying, there is a God. Listen to Him. He's out there. You might not understand it, but start talking to Him and trust Him. He is willing to reveal Himself to you once you start accepting the fact that He is there. Years ago, there was Noah in the family. At the time that the children of Israel came out of Egypt, we had Caleb and Joshua, and they said, yes, we can go into the promised land. We had Deborah. She was a judge, quite famous, and she said, the Lord is with Israel in this battle. And the people were kind of, yeah, I don't know. And the general comes to her and says, oh yeah, you think the Lord's really with us? Well, if He is, why don't you go out with us? And she said, I'll lead you. And so she went out and she led in the battle, and they won. God has always had some people who are willing to stand there and to pronounce the truth no matter what it takes. The fundamentals of the United States has been changing because we have been going against the teaching of God. We have started saying there is no God, God is dead. That comes from Friedrich Nietzsche. But when we seek after God, He always is willing to hear our prayers and to call us back. People quit seeking Jesus. And Jesus was the God who became man so that He could lead us into truth and die for us and give us salvation and forgiveness of sin. Instead, we have men who are seeking after men who become godlings. They look to them as though they were God. There is a saying in some denominations that as God is, we shall be. And as we are, God once was. And what they're saying is, God is no better than us and we're no better than God. But if we keep working at it, we too can become God in our own right. And then we can do what we want. And we can rule and do the things that we choose to do. The world that hates us because we do believe that there is Jesus, the world that is against us, they're no looking for a Savior divine. They're not looking for a divine Savior. Instead, they're looking always to science and technology now. They're saying, we don't need God. We've got science and we got tech. We can now do as we please because science and technology will always find a solution or a cure. I've been around long enough, I'm starting to hear him say, our cures aren't really coming out as good as they used to because the viruses, the bacteria, all of those little bugs that we used to get and our own bodies would fight off, or we could give them a shot of penicillin, they are becoming resistant to all of our drugs, and they're becoming super, super strong, and we're running out of things to give them to stop them. So the diseases that was almost stopped when I was a kid are now starting to have an uptick. And people keep saying, don't worry, science will come up with something. And I am a firm believer in science. I like science. I like to read about it. I like to understand it. And I do like technology. I think it's great. People say, I'd like to live back, you know, back in the good old days when the West was wild and people was riding covered wagons. I'm going, no, I'd like to live in the 1950s when we started getting air conditioners and TVs and candy bars. I like that kind of stuff. No, none of that other stuff for me. I don't like mosquitoes. I like mosquito repellent. But people today are saying, we've got the solution. We don't need a God. We just need more vaccines and more technology. We'll come up with something. So what we need to do is, this isn't me talking, this is the approach of the world based on that concept, is party, party, party. All that's important is that we party and have a good time. We as the church, we use the communion cup to say we're followers of Jesus Christ, and they use the red solo cup to say, I choose to party. I'm not condemning here, I'm just saying, as long as you're truly seeking after Jesus Christ first and foremost, that is the important thing. And getting together and having a good time, that's all right too, but always realize that Jesus has got to come first in our life. God right now is calling to us as a church here at Glenwood, but as a church in general across the world, and He's saying, I am looking for a minority of people who will stand up and testify to the truth of Christ, who will stand up and tell what's going on. Remember this, the true church of Jesus cannot and never will be defeated. Yep, we can be corrected because we can go into error, and God Himself will say, it's time, kids, you're going to have to be corrected. Going away from the truth, start seeking that. So He's given us a heads up saying, always seek the truth. But if you don't, I will send something to you that will cause you to do this, to seek the truth. What happens during those times is there's a falling away. The quantity of people start diminishing within the true church of Jesus Christ because they don't like what's happening, and it's more fun to forsake the church than it is to follow. They would rather have their good times here, and we say there is a heaven out there. There is a future out there, and yes, we are to have an abundant life and enjoy the life that we have here. But always keep in mind, there is a greater life that lasts for eternity up there. Don't turn your back on God or upon Jesus, but instead seek Him. And yet, while there is a falling away from the church, the people who do stay and the people who endure, they become of a higher quality. They become more loving, more caring, more sharing. It's easy to prove in the book of Acts, right before Jesus died, He had thousands, literally thousands of followers. He fed 4,000. He fed 5,000. So you have thousands of people who were interested in everything He did. From the time He was arrested and crucified and His resurrection, and we get to 50 days later, the number had went from thousands to 120 people were gathered in an upper room, and they waited there because the Lord had said, go to Jerusalem and wait for Me, and you will be endued with power from on high. So they returned to Jerusalem. They took residence in a place called the upper room, and those 120 people, they waited and they prayed and they expected. And on the day of Pentecost, the power came. And they were there, and the power wasn't all the flash and bang. The power was there for them to lead a Christian life. And that's the point of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, is for us to be in this world and yet not of this world. It is for us to be a light into this world and call people out of it and say, there is a better way. I would like to be one person who is up here in front of y'all testifying to that fact. At 18 years old, I came to a place and I said, this isn't working. Life isn't really worth it right now. And instead, Jesus sent some people to me. And one night in November, they talked to me and I said, okay, God, I'm going to give You the shot. Forgive me of everything I've ever done wrong. And from now on, I'm Yours. It's not been an easy way to go, but it has been exciting. It's been interesting. Sometimes just flat out odd because I'm going, oh, really, God, You did that. It's amazing the things that He does pull off. So at this time that we're in right now, I'm going to say this. Church, COVID, nuclear war, they're talking about another World War III. They're talking about a Cold War. They're talking about economic collapse. They're talking about a rise in superpowers battling it out again. Russia, China, the United States, India is now considered a superpower or right on the verge of becoming a superpower. Don't get discouraged. Don't be fearful. Instead, start praying. Be prayerful. Be waiting. Be patient. And be expectant. Because I can tell you this, the church has always been and always will be renewed. God always honors His assemblies whenever they start saying, God, forgive us of where we went wrong as individuals and as a group or as a denomination. Forgive us and teach us, renew us. And God will, for us, either renew us or remove us. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm saying He will renew us so we can become better witnesses for Jesus Christ. Or He will remove us. He will take us out, and we know that as the rapture of the church. I don't know which way He will choose to go this time. I do have a preference because I have never flown through the air without an airplane. But it would be an interesting thing to go through. But if not, I will take a renewal so that I can be a better witness for Jesus. If not, and He decides to remove us, we will mount up on wings as eagles. That would be tremendous, wouldn't it? Quick, but tremendous. to be here and then all at once be standing in the presence of Jesus Himself. I'm saying this now. Church of Glenwood and individuals that are attending today, seek the Lord. Ask Him to forgive us as a church and as individuals. And let's keep doing that. Not getting discouraged about what's going on in the world, but being encouraged because He's always saying, I am there for you when you turn to Me. Ask Him to give us the power to be reformers in the sense of calling the people back or giving us the power to live in this world and not part of this world. And we should always do this with the expectation because it will happen in some form. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to You. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive this church where it has made wrong decisions in the past or just didn't make a decision or never even let it cross our mind that we needed to make a decision. I ask that You would lead us. Jesus, don't leave us alone. And Jesus, I ask that You would show Yourself somehow to this church. Knock the chaff off of us so that all that's left is that which is valuable and not that which is of the world or makes us fit in better with the world. Jesus, I ask that You'd keep us moving forward and lead us into truth and give us the strength to be Your people as witnesses on this earth until You decide to take us home some way, somehow. We acknowledge You, we honor You, and we say thank You. In Jesus' name I prayed. Amen.